What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Industry Geeks Podcast. It's Steve here. And this week I didn't do a new episode, but I figured I'd do something a little different in that I'll be putting up the very first episode of the show that was ever recorded. So the very first episode that we did was actually with a band, a pretty awesome band, a really awesome indie band called the Soapbox Army. Or Soapbox Army, however I'm going to put it. But yeah, they have a few albums out, so you can go check them out at soapboxarmy.com. You can find them on the Spotify's and all the cool places to listen to music, but go check them out. They're pretty awesome. And here's the conversation. So thanks for listening. And enjoy.
Exactly.
Hello.
Hey, this is Dan and Simon.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing? Hold on 1 second. Just gonna put it on speaker.
Okay. No problem.
Hello.
Yo.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, guys? It's Steve and Charlie here.
Hey, Steve, Charlie. Hang on.
How you doing, guys? What's going on?
Good. Sorry, I'm a bit late. I got caught up in the traffic in Times Square. I'm at Dan's office.
That's not a problem. Nice, we understand perfectly.
Yeah.
So we're familiar with the area. We know how bad traffic gets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know how shitty New York traffic is. All right. So how you guys doing?
Yeah, good. Not too bad.
You guys ready for tomorrow?
Yeah. We're prepared. Had a rehearsal last night. Went really well. So.
Nice.
Okay, that's awesome.
How do you guys feel about performing live? What do you get out of it most?
I love it, Simon. I live for it.
I can just imagine just being on stage and just, you know, rocking out to the crowd, just loving you guys.
Yeah, it's definitely like the first few times you do it, it's always there, but that thrill of just performing for people, and it's definitely like anyone says, it's kind of a cliche, but it is a rush.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, there's not few feelings better than it, I could say.
Right.
Yeah. How long have you guys been performing already? How long have you guys been performing?
Simon's probably... Oh, you mean like personally? As a band or just personally?
Personally.
Okay, Simon.
Since I was about 7 or 8.
Wow.
So quite a few years.
Okay.
7 or 8, I was still playing Nintendo. Yeah. Still playing video games at 7 or 8.
Yeah. I started off in a concert band back in Australia and... Yeah, so we used to have, like, Christmas performances. I think that was probably one of my first performances.
Okay.
Not bad at all.
And this is Dan. I started playing when I was, you know, a kid. I played piano and drums and kind of dabbled with everything. In college, I really took on guitar as a main instrument and started singing. I guess, like, more in earnest, like, took it more seriously. I would say I got into it later. I did a lot of, like, open mics and stuff like that.
Okay.
As far as, like, the full-out performance aspect of playing, it's, you know, it's really been, you know, I play shows here and there when I was solo.
Okay.
You know, like I said, it was mostly, like, open mics and stuff. And then the last, like, 4 or 5 years, I've been just going full steam with this project, so.
Pretty cool. So, I mean, what you guys used to listen to growing up? What kind of music influenced you all?
Well, I grew up in Australia, and my sister's, actually my whole family's from England.
Wow.
I was influenced by a lot of British pop and rock. The Police were massive for me when I was younger. So
okay.
Huge. Influence for me, but funnily enough, I actually really liked a lot of American rock as well. So Bon Jovi was my first ever concert. Slippery when Wet. I was really young.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
Back in the 80s, yeah. Our parents, a friend of mine and myself were allowed to go to this concert by ourselves. It was a rush. And they all had the hair and flying around.
Not bad at all.
Oh, that is awesome.
It was cool, and I think from that point on, I was like, this is what I've got to do. Including have that hair, but unfortunately it didn't work out.
That happens. We all can't rock that hairstyle. Yeah. Doesn't work for some of us.
Yeah, doesn't work for me at all. Oh, that is great. That was actually one of the questions I was going to ask you. What was your first, like, your first live show you guys ever went to? But you already answered with Bon Jovi. What about, was it Dan?
Yeah, first concert I actually went to, embarrassingly enough, was Hall & Oates.
Oh, nice.
I got you all beat. My first concert was Menudo. With Ricky Martin on stage. Freaking older sisters dragged me over to see him.
Nice. Now, my first concert was actually with Charlie. We actually he popped my concert cherry. We went to see Evanescence together when we were in college.
Oh, wow, cool!
Yeah,
that was recent. I remember.
Yeah, that was pretty recent, dude. I never went to any concert before that.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, quick question: where do you guys come up with the name for Soapbox Army?
I can take that. This is Dan. I started the band about 2007, I guess, and it just started as kind of like a solo project. And I just had basically like a list of like hundreds of names, and it just kind of came out. I don't know where it came from, but I just liked the idea. I saw something online about how a modern form of a soapbox is a blog.
Okay.
And I just kind of was thinking about the fact that, like, everyone and their mother nowadays has, like, a blog or a Twitter or a Facebook, including us. And so it just felt like putting together the soapbox and the army, giving it a kind of, like, that. I felt like the army kind of gave it that bigger vibe and more of an energy to it.
Okay.
Just like the idea of kind of everyone having their own voice nowadays. You see any kind of opinion is put out there nowadays, and I think part of the band is the music can be opinionated. It's definitely not political. I think some people might see it and think it's like soapbox, like standing on a soapbox. It definitely has a connotation of being political, but it's more about just being like, you know, having strong opinions and that's it.
Okay. That's pretty good.
I just like the way it sounded, and I know that when I pitched it to my producer, he was like, isn't it, there's got to be another band with that name. Like, it sounded like there's a band that exists with that already. So to me, that was kind of like confirmation that it's a good name.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because when Charlie told me, I was like, wait, have they been around for a while? I've never heard of this, but I think I've heard of them before.
I know. It's funny because people have commented on Twitter and said, someone else said, like, yeah, this seems like I've heard about you guys, but I don't know, maybe it was one of you guys, but someone said, I've heard of you guys, but I never got a chance to listen to you. And I'm like, okay. We're kind of new, but it sounded like they made it out like, you know, as a band that's been around for like 20 years.
Right, yeah, like that's what I thought at first. I was like, these guys have been around for a while. And then I look and I was like, no, they haven't been around for that long.
They're kind of really new.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty new, and this lineup of the band is really new. I mean, Simon's been with us, what, how long?
Five, 6 months now.
So.
Oh, okay.
But you know, we've been through a few different lineups.
Right, just like most bands, they you know, especially in their inceptions, they always, you know, switch up, and they're always, you know, adding new lineup, new everything.
Yeah, it's like the cliche. It's a marriage, and it's hard to like keep everyone together, and everyone has different reasons for staying or going or whatever. And
right, it's understandable.
But we definitely have, like, I think, and, you know, I'm not just saying this, but I definitely think that the current lineup is the most solid.
Okay. That's good.
I think musically and sort of personality-wise as well, like, we really
along
with each other. Really. And we've all got very different backgrounds. We come from very different places.
Okay.
Our guitarist is originally from India, so...
Oh, wow.
But he's been around the world a lot and has been living here for a while now, but... yeah, we just have this kind of this humor, I think, in the band that we all get as well. And we have a lot of fun with it. So
yeah, it shows through in you guys' new record. That'll, definitely, you guys have a nice cohesiveness going on over there.
It's good. I mean, I think if you've got to have that, especially in this industry, if you don't work as a team and like each other's company, then it's not going to work out. So,
right.
We guys talked about you guys playing at Sullivan Hall, but what's your dream venue? Where would you love to soul out to? You know, I mean, what?
Well, we were joking about this week, weren't we, Dan? It was like, you know, interview with Rolling Stone. That's you guys, right?
Not yet. Soon, I hope.
Yeah, soon enough.
Actually, first it was rehearsal last night, then Wednesday night interview with Rolling Stone, and Thursday night Madison Square Garden.
There's nothing wrong with Madison Square Garden. That place is great.
That place is awesome.
I'm from New York, so for me that would be, you know.
That'll be it.
But, you know, there's like, you see Wembley Stadium and in England and stuff like that the Foo Fighters played recently.
Yes, right, definitely.
But stuff like that is definitely like a dream. I mean, to me, I can't even imagine that with so many freaking people.
Yeah, exactly.
But I can't wait to do like festivals with this band. I think for me, this is the first band I think I've been in where I can really see the project going somewhere and actually having legs to really you know, hit some bigger venues and some.
Yeah, we could definitely see that.
Well, so and that was a huge pull for me. I mean, the music was like that. It just, when I heard I only heard the first album. I didn't get a chance to hear the second album before I auditioned because it was in production. It was
right.
Okay.
Post production. So Dan kept saying to me, look, the second album is quite different to the first one. I said, well, you know, unless it's like, you know, a totally different genre, you know, I'm loving the first album, so I'm going to love the second album, and I did.
Right, right. It's not like if it's a complete, totally different change, like you said. Like, it's not like, you know, a screamo album to, like, you know, a soft emo ballad.
Or electro pop or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's just a nice, I think from the first to the second album, it's just a nice progression, a nice evolution.
Yeah, that's the way that we usually describe it, you know, even in our bio. It's I think it's not like a complete departure. It's definitely just like an evolution of where the first album was a solo project, essentially. So it just evolved from there. It was just me and a producer and recording a couple songs that eventually became like an entire album, and it definitely has like a softer, more singer-songwriter feel to it. But
right.
After that, I kind of assembled band to kind of play these songs live, and once we got, I mean, we had 8 people on stage at one point. The energy just started to build. We had so many different instruments, and I kind of just, you know, went with it, and I think we all went with kind of the energy, which led into kind of like I wouldn't say like aggressive, it's not metal, but
right.
it's heavier than the first album.
Right. It's kind of like the whole Dave Grohl and Foo Fighters thing, that he did everything before, you know, he started adding people to the band before he started the tour.
Right. Yeah, he actually, their first album, he actually
played all the instruments, I think.
Yeah, he played the whole thing. He recorded the whole thing himself, and then he got people afterwards. So, yeah, it's like that.
That's awesome.
Speaking of rock music, where do you see the current state of rock music being? What does rock music mean to you as well?
Yeah, good question, because, I mean, I've been seeing a lot lately about just how rock is dead.
Right.
That's an old cliche now.
Yeah, yeah. I think it might be sort of, you know, in terms of, you know, top 40, probably not the current trend, but it's certainly alive, and a lot of people still love listening to it. And I think the reason for that, it's like a good 3-piece suit. It's always going to be fashionable, you know.
Yeah, right. That is an awesome.
A bit like that,
actually.
You know, like synthesizers come and go, and sure, we use electronics and, you know, to some degree, but mainly it's all acoustic instruments.
Yeah, you guys are not using auto tune or anything like that, right?
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I think if you play something like that, it's gonna have the longevity and it's gonna be around for a while, and there's always gonna be a market for it. So.
Right. You're very right.
Big states too. Like, I mean, it's you know, rock is big in Australia, but here it's just on a much bigger scale, and you know, like it's you know, there's a lot of people here that are still digging it.
Yeah, it seems like there's a little bit of a resurgence recently.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, 90s bands reuniting, and yeah. There's bands like the guys that you got compared us to, like the Gaslight Anthem, who
yes.
are building a huge following, and people, I think, love the fact that it's just kind of genuine music, you know, and
it's
I think
it's kind of very heartfelt.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where our music comes from, too. It's kind of, it's, you know, like you said, it's heartfelt, and it's a human album, you know. It's not like, I mean, and I don't want to knock like other genres, because there's plenty. I listen to everything. I think everyone in the band has pretty diverse tastes.
Yeah, I got the same issue. I listen to everything.
Yeah, we come from, you know, we come from different backgrounds. We have different things that we gravitate towards, but we all have pretty diverse tastes, and it's not just straight up rock, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, even, you know, some of the current stuff I still dig, but.
Okay, what are some of the current bands that you guys listen to, or current artists that you guys listen to?
You want to take that one, Simon?
What am I currently listening to?
What's on your iPod right now?
Yeah,
for me,
that's a good question.
Yeah.
gosh, probably a whole heap of stuff. What are they? I've been listening to a lot of the band stuff. We were just talking about this last night. Dan?
I was saying, like, I to Simon that I had like an old iPod that had like a billion songs on it, and then I just got an iPhone, and I basically have like 12 albums on it right now, and I haven't wow. really updated it.
Oh wow!
I've been listening to these same things. I mean, right now I have like a band called The Joy Formidable, which our guitarist actually introduced me to. That's kind of like a 90s.
I heard of them. I haven't heard anything from them, but I heard of the band.
It's kind of, it's rock, but it's like alt, it's got a little bit of a 90s alt feel, and it, nice. The songs are really epic, and there's a lot of changes. It's an interesting album. It's called, I'm trying to think of the name, The Big Roar is the name of the album, but yeah, I don't know, like, I'm a big fan of Jeff Buckley, so I have all his stuff on there.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Radiohead still kicking about on my phone.
Of course.
Uh-huh. I'm still listening to a lot of Australian stuff as well.
Yeah, I like this band City in Color, actually, that we've been...
Yeah, you introduced me.
That's actually a singer-songwriter named Dallas Green, who, again, just writes really, just really good songs, you know, heartfelt songs, and, you know, there's some rock in there, and there's some just singer-songwriter type stuff, and it's all just, he's just a really good guitar player and a great singer, and that's kind of what I gravitate towards now. It's just nice. Great songs, you know.
Okay.
It's not about a specific style. I just feel like a lot of different styles nowadays, like when you get into quote-unquote hipster, modern, like, hip bands, they'll have, like, their one song, and people will hear, oh, this is awesome, and then you listen to the rest of the album, and it's just a bunch of shit.
Yeah, I had that issue recently with an artist I'm not going to name. But he had his song was in a commercial used for Internet Explorer recently.
I think we've pretty much figured it out by now.
I know who it is.
Yeah, and half the CD is good, the other half is crap.
Yeah, and I listened to it. I think I know who the band is, and I heard that if it is the same one, I thought it was this band Shinedown, which I don't like at all. But I sound
on record, Dan.
The guy sounds exactly like the other
song. He really does. A lot.
That's what I thought too. I thought it was him. I was like, wait a minute, this sounds familiar.
Is that the one?
No, it's not. It's not. It's not. It's not the different Shinedown. But yeah, it's the same band. It's the same guy.
Yeah, to me, the guy sounded exactly like the singer from that band, but it had like an electronic.
Yeah, definitely had an electronic feel to it.
Yeah, that's what that whole album sounds like.
But his second half of the album just mellowed out so bad, like it made you depressed.
Oh wow!
It was like really bad.
It's a very catchy song, though.
Oh no, it's a great song. I kind of fell into the hype of the song and bought the CD.
Yeah, it happens. We're all band buddies. But
yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of other bands and stuff that I listen to. I mean, there's some stuff that, some like mellower stuff like Bon Iver, wow. Who's kind of like popular recently. It's very mellow and it's definitely for certain moods, but I like some of the current sort of folk Americana stuff that's been coming through. But
I mean, I'm all over the place when it comes to my iPod. I'm a big Dave Matthews Band fan. I have, like, every single album, but I listen to Dave Matthews Band, to John Mayer, to Metallica, Aerosmith, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, back to Alanis Morissette, or Evanescence.
Yeah, but you don't, I'm all over the place. But you don't want to listen to Lamb of God.
Sorry. It's like somebody's yelling at me. If I want somebody to yell at me, I go to work.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Yeah, Dave Matthews Band got a new album coming out. I'm looking forward to hearing that, actually.
Which band?
Dave Matthews Band.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Charlie was just telling me about that.
The lead single, they just released a video for it today. So I was kind of going crazy over that.
Yeah, there's a new video out, and they had a cool concept of the video getting, like, a whole bunch of fans to take, like, a photo.
Yeah, it came out really nice, though. It came out really cool. I thought it was going to be all over the place, but it was actually really sweet, very nice. Had a good message to it.
Cool.
Yeah, Dave Matthews I've seen a few times, like, the band and him alone with his guitarist, like this Tim Reynolds. And they're just, I mean, no matter what, because people trash them a lot, but if you see them live, it's just like...
Oh, they're great live.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's great live. I'm just saying, like, it's not necessarily my cup of tea, but I'll listen to it if it's on.
Yeah. No, I understand, because a lot of people don't like them, and I get it, and it can get old to me, too, but you can't deny, like, the talent, I guess. Like, I'm always like, if a band's talented, even if it's not my, taste.
You gotta give it a listen.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
But there's so much crap out
there. You gotta read out the crap, though. That's just it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's on their soapbox. Yeah.
Exactly.
But
All right, so you guys are really into their music. So you guys really geek out into your music. What other things do you guys geek out about?
I wish I could say. I wish we had, like, our, right now it's just me and Simon. I wish we had, like, Feroz here, our guitarist, because he's, like, big into tons of other kind of stuff, like gaming and a lot of the other stuff that I know you guys cover.
Okay.
Yeah, it's too bad he's not here to talk to you about that stuff. He's very into, like, fantasy sci-fi and gaming and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, Steve's more into the sci-fi thing than I am.
Yeah, I'm into the whole sci-fi and gaming. And
I love, like, the show. Like, I watch, like, Game of Thrones, and I love stuff like that. I like any kind of...
fantasy based on a book type thing?
Fantasy based on book stuff, yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I totally dig it. You guys excited for The Hobbit coming up?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm excited. I just don't like the fact that they're making it into three movies.
Are they really?
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Don't know why. It would have been fine, too.
Rag it out.
Yeah, because even, like, the first Lord of the Rings, I know they have to create the story, but it was slow.
Yeah.
Right, but the fact that The Hobbit is a small book as compared to, the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, how could they possibly make
three
movies out of one small book?
Well, they'll do it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they will. I'm pretty sure they will. And Peter Jackson.
Cash in. Yeah.
More power to Peter Jackson for that one.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. But yeah, I'm a big, like, I don't know. I'm not a big into gaming and stuff like that. Like, I definitely was, but now I'm more, I think music is a main focus. I love, anything, any kind of movie-related stuff, and music and movies are my two big things, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, what was the last movie you guys went to see?
Last movie? I think the last movie I saw, which was kind of funny, was, what's the name of that new movie with the bear?
Ted.
Yeah. Which I was on the fence about, but it was kind of funny.
I really enjoyed it. I loved it.
That was a funny movie.
It was like, it was a live action version of Family Guy.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. And because when you have his voice doing the...
When you have technically the whole voice on the cast
to
do everything, basically.
Yeah, it was definitely, there were some moments that were fucking hilarious.
Yeah, they really were.
All the Flash references.
Yeah.
All the Flash references were cool.
All the Flash references, the whole airplane, you know, montage.
I mean, a lot of people, they didn't like it because they didn't get it. They weren't born then. They didn't, you know, they weren't alive to see Flash or Gordon
or even watch Airplane. Yeah.
Airplane is one of my favorite movies. Love it.
Hell yeah. Unless you knew he was a comic genius.
Yeah. I was just talking about it the other night with my parents. Line with where the girl starts freaking out and they say you gotta get a hold of yourself, and they have a line of people smacking her.
Oh yeah.
And they have like hooks and like all these different weapons that they're hitting her with.
Oh jeez, it's gonna make me want to go home and watch it again.
I have a South Park thing in my office, and that's it. I'm a big fan of like Trey and Matt.
Okay, have South you guys seen the Book of Mormon?
I haven't. I want to. Yeah, no, friends with
it. Yeah, I haven't seen it either, but I heard the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh, the soundtrack is hilarious.
I heard it's hilarious, yeah.
Yes, I suggest you guys check that out.
I gotta check it out myself. I haven't heard it. I wanted to see the show, but yeah. They're like booked for like next year or something like that.
They're going on the road. They're going out west, I think.
Oh, wow.
Next year.
If it doesn't have chocolate salty balls on it, I'm not interested.
No, they don't. It doesn't have chocolate salty balls, but they do tell you not to fuck a baby.
Don't fuck the baby. Yes, I heard that one.
Yeah. If you guys could collaborate with any artist now, who would it be?
Ooh. Man. That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
I mean, I wouldn't want to say like the obvious, like another rock band. I would almost want to do like something
like different,
a producer or something.
Yeah, like a producer or like something, you know.
Okay.
Matthews would be cool. I mean, that would be.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. That'd be a good, nice little jam session.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. See, he likes to play for like 25 minutes each song, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I've done some backup vocals on like my producer's other artist, who's a hip hop artist, a really good artist named Del Weld.
Okay.
And it was just like some quick lines and stuff for background, but I just love that kind of stuff. Like there was that, I forgot who did the track, but there was this guy, I can't think of his hip hop artist name, but it just kind of like the hook is sung by like a a white
white guy.
Okay.
Kind of hip hop verse, and then that, even though that's kind of like a cliched thing, it's always kind of like,
it's always fun to listen to.
Yeah, it's nice collaborations. They're always like catchy and stuff like that. I mean, there's definitely bad examples of it. I'm trying to think of the one that I heard of, but yeah, something like that would be cool, at least for me.
Michael Bolton, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's different. Just go with Kenny G while you're at it, then. You know.
Answer out of it.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
We're not that kind of band.
Yeah. I don't
okay.
Know.
Okay.
Yeah. You if guys you guys
go the whole, you know, Lonely Island route.
Yeah, we might if this doesn't work out. we'll just parody ourselves after this.
Right. That works.
That works.
Quick question. If you guys had to do one cover song, what would it be?
Oh, man.
Well, that's something that we've been...
Yeah, that's something we're talking about because we're playing another show and like kind of a more scaled-down show.
Okay.
In September 20th at National Underground. And we're probably going to do a couple covers there. In the past, we did, like, I had this Van Morrison song that I want to do and everyone was down. It was,
nice.
That we covered that was... That came off kind of cool. Something different. I don't know. I don't know if I can think of.
We're talking about maybe like a Radiohead song or something. Like taking something and rocking it up a bit.
Yeah. Or even like taking some pop song and doing it in a completely different way,
right.
Rocking it out, or taking something that's rock and chill. I always like when people kind of, you know, when other artists sort of interpret it. And,
right. Yeah.
Opposed to just doing it straight up like the other
exactly.
Act. Like if I want to hear that, I'll just listen to the.
Basically, yeah. You're right.
So, but I don't know if I could think of a...
Like Alien Ant Farm did that version.
Yeah.
Smooth Criminal.
Yeah, exactly.
Mixing it up.
That was a sick track. And,
yeah.
And
the video was cool.
That album actually is pretty underrated. I think they were kind of a cool band. I mean, it was a weird time, I think.
And they had a good, few good tracks. They had Smooth Criminal, they had Movies, they have Attitude.
Yeah.
Attitude was my favorite song on that album.
Yeah, it was a great album. And, you know, there's, I think, a lot of bands in that, because that was kind of like, I think, when rock was starting to, like, die out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when everybody started to rap.
Yeah, that's when it was a kind of hip-hop, rock collaboration, so.
Yeah, like, wearing a Fred Durst red Yankee hat. Ruining music as we knew it.
It didn't ruin music. You know you love the Nookie.
Yeah. Maybe this is something we can post on Twitter, like give us some ideas.
That's something we could see what people would, I mean, like. Open to suggestions for sure.
I mean, I know Hailstorm recently did a cover of Bad Romance by Lady Gaga. That was a really heavy metal, rocked out version to it, and it sounded really much better than the original.
Yeah, I think, would be cool to do. It's always hard to think of, like a Katy Perry song or something like that. I don't know.
Fireworks. Rock Fireworks. That'd be great.
Yeah.
There you go. See, you're working on it already.
Yeah, we got it down already. Right? We're writing it down.
We're writing it as we speak. That is awesome.
No.
Do you guys play off of sheet music? Like, do you guys, you know, when you guys record, do you guys just jam out, and or do you guys, you know, work off of sheet music and then, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, we didn't. I mean, I don't read music, so, like, for me, I couldn't. But, we've had, like, Simon does, yeah.
Yeah, I need visual prompting.
Okay,
all
right. I would make notes. When I was learning the tracks off the first album, I pretty much charted them because I wanted to, like, nail them.
Right.
So we all, I think, have different ways of doing stuff. But basically, we've been rehearsing for the shows that we've been doing, but we've also been dedicating time to writing new material, and we've just been jamming out on that. Cool. Everyone seems to work pretty well that way. So we just stick the recorder on and just press record and. Lay down some ideas and see what sticks and what doesn't, I guess. So we'll see how this next batch of songs turns out. But we want to be recording by the end of the year.
Okay.
An EP this time rather than an album. So, just to keep the material coming out and keeping it fresh.
Right, kind of like a mixtape.
Yeah, we're doing new tunes. Even like the CD launch, we actually did two new tunes. New tracks that weren't on any of these.
Yeah, we'll have some new songs tomorrow, I think it's like the same with every band. You just see the songs from Reactor, our new album. We've been playing them for over a year, so.
Oh wow!
As much as we love them, and I think we all still really love playing them, and it's great to play them live. But you just want to like keep being creative and keep trying to progress. Mm-hmm. I think we're trying to like. Evolve the sound, because the sound of the band keeps evolving, I think.
Right.
And, and we're kind of just trying to, like, try new things out, so we'll see.
Speaking of which, for those who haven't heard of Soapbox Army, how would you describe the music? How would you describe the band?
It's hard to because it's not like a big, like, hodgepodge. I mean, you could say there's elements of rock, there's elements of folk, there's some funk, we have like a lot of like different styles that are melding, but it all kind of folds into kind of a rock feel.
Okay.
But I think we just inject all of our different influences and playing styles into our music, and that's kind of what makes it unique. Because it's just really a big focus on songs. Like I was saying before, so I don't know how to like necessarily categorize it other than we're a rock band.
That's a good way to put it. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, because I've had this conversation with my producer, with the producer that produced our first album, and one that he did our new album as well. And then we've said alt rock, but alternative rock is for one thing is. Not necessarily. I don't know if bands even describe themselves that way unless they're like from the 90s.
Yeah, pretty much. Nobody really describes themselves as alt rock anymore.
Either rock or you're something else. It's not really alternative. I mean, you see alternative, but when you see alternative on people's it usually ends up being like some electronic type stuff, or people
automatically think about alternative. They'll think about, like, you know, Pearl Jam or like their latest hits from Pearl Jam.
Exactly, and I think we definitely can fall into that category, and the music definitely takes from that. A lot of us sort of grew up on that music, so like we love that stuff, and you know, I respect so many of those bands. But yeah, as far as like categorizing it, like I always just say like we're rock, you know.
That works.
That's a good way to put it.
Like people come to check us out and listen to our music and get it that way, as opposed to saying like we're, you know, even Simon and I have talked about like, are we Silverchair meets Radiohead? Or...
Oh Lord!
People say, you know, like make sure you get that down so that when somebody says, you know, well, how do you describe your band, you've got it, you know, and you can just throw that at them.
It's nice to be able to do it that way, to throw it out to people, but it's hard to do because I don't think we really are sound. I think there's a lot of bands that sound just like another band.
Right, yeah. You guys don't sound like anything that I've heard in a while.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you guys, that's what drew me to your guys' album. It's just that it sounds so different. There was a lot of energy in that record that you don't have anymore.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I was saying to Simon, energetic, like, I really, energetic rock. I was saying to Simon that I was psyched that you guys compared us to Gaslight Anthem, because they're a band that I respect, and you know, I think their music has that. You know, that Bruce Springsteen Jersey vibe.
Yes, definitely right. Does.
But at least like you compared us to a band that I think we could be in that kind of category, because it's that kind of like sort of chugging straight ahead rock, like earnest, heartfelt music.
And like no holds barred, no frills music. It's just
yeah,
out there.
Exactly. And you know, and we've played around with trying to introduce some electronics and stuff live, and we try to make it like interesting that in that way. But yeah, it all comes down to real instruments and real songs.
And what I love about Dan's lyrics is that I don't understand them. Dan, like, what does this mean? Like, and he's like, I don't even know what this means. You know, like, if you probe him, you'll say.
No, they all,
you know, they mean something.
They all mean something.
This is something that really appealed to me. Was, you know, I just try and stay away from music that it's just so obvious as to what the song is about. You know, I went down the shops and I, you know, saw this girl and yeah, we had coffee and like, oh my God, how boring. So, you know, and with this, it's like, it really draws you in and what does it mean? And
well, I think lyrically that's, yeah.
On the album so that, you know, it could mean something different to all that, anyone who's listening, it could mean something. It's so ambiguous, I think.
Yeah,
I really love that.
I think I was, you know, lyrically influenced by the bands that I love, like, are a little bit more cryptic about the meanings and leave it, you know, up
cryptic
to the...
Rock.
Cryptic rock. Up to people to interpret. Like, there's a band called Dredge that is probably one of my favorite modern bands. And, you know, the lyrics are very kind of vague, and you know, like you can interpret them in different ways, but they're an amazing band. And even in the 90s, a lot of the music that I loved was, you know, it's not like Simon says, it's not like you listen to it once and you know exactly what it's about. It's you know, I try to keep it a little bit more hidden, I guess, and I'm not necessarily even doing that, like, you know, on purpose. It's right. Just the way that I write. Yeah. And but you know, when I've worked with my producer and talked about lyrics with him, it's not something that I'm just like, you know, I know Anthony Kiedis from the Chili Peppers has answered questions about this, like about his songs, like I don't know what the fuck it's about.
And that's a beautiful answer, though. It's true.
Yeah, and then there's you know, but I try to, you know, I've talked to my producer about this, and he's kind of convinced me that you have to be able to stand behind every line, because otherwise it's just kind of meaningless. Even if it, you know, if you're the only one who knows meaning right now and it's open to interpretation, at least you can stand behind it. And that's something that I've kind of like tried to commit to in my writing, yeah. You know, so that it really, you know, means something and it's not just like kind of some ambiguous statement, you know. But there's times where things come through you, like as a songwriter, you just come up with something and these lyrics kind of flow out. There's a new song that we're working on that we're playing tomorrow and these lyrics flow out. And yeah, you can get a meaning from it, but it's, again, like, sometimes I'm like, I don't even know what the hell this means, like, you know.
I think that's the
see.
So I get that, like, yeah. So
the audience person.
But you know, it doesn't happen often. Usually, I can, you know, sit there and really like craft each line and make sure that there's, you know, a purpose to what I'm saying, because there is a message behind every song.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a beautiful thing about music. It means different things to different people. You could have one lyric saying one thing, and it means something totally different to a person on any given day.
And you don't want to ruin it for the listener.
Right.
They might think it's about one thing, and then you tell them what it is, because, you know, they'll ask, what's this song about? And then you tell them what it is, and they're like, oh.
Yeah, I had that reaction with Kings of Leon, Sex on Fire, when I found out what that song was about. It's actually about sex, an STD.
Wow.
Oh, is it really? Ruined,
yeah, it's about an STD.
Wow, that's horrible.
There you go, it just kind of ruins the song for you now, doesn't it? Every time I listen to that song now, I'm thinking about an STD. Like,
wow, I don't want to get that now.
Yeah, exactly.
I would kind of, like, in a joking way, think that, because people joke about the Sex on Fire. Oh, you must have chlamydia or something.
There you go, see?
But, yeah, I would think that it's more just like a song about sex in general. But
you would think.
But
now
it's specific to an STD.
Yeah, yeah. Now every time you listen to that song, you're thinking about that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Sometimes you hear about what songs are about, and it, you're like, it wasn't what you thought, but it's still kind of like pleasantly surprising. You're like, oh, yeah. Man, that's kind of funny. I didn't even, you know, or that's weird and interesting or whatever.
Yeah.
So you can be surprised, but it is good to like leave it to people to interpret. I mean, they have like, there's a whole website devoted to people guessing what songs are about, songmeanings.net, that I've been on a bunch of times, just to see what people, you know, songs that I like, to see how people interpret them.
Right.
And so it's always interesting, because you always have your own interpretation of what something's about.
Right, like on the latest Stained album, their last song is called When I'm Gone. And when they performed it, I saw on Ustream, they performed it, they said, take this song however you take it, but it's still an awesome song.
Yeah. There you go.
Right.
I mean, we appreciate you guys taking out time. I know you guys are busy and getting ready for the show tomorrow. And we just want to say thank you for, you know, everything. For
the awesome music.
For the awesome music, for putting the review on your website and putting it on your Facebook page. That was kind of awesome. That was a good feeling.
Cool. Well, thanks for writing such a great review.
Yeah, it was an amazing review, and it was awesome. Yeah, it was an awesome feeling to get a 5 out of 5 and have people rave about, you know, what you just produced. So
right.
We were psyched.
Awesome.
Thanks so much, guys. And just so you know, Simon's the Aussie.
I figured that.
So
thank you, Simon.
When you transcribe it,
Dan, I'm like, just tell him that you're the one with the American accent. I'm the guy with the Australian accent.
Awesome.
When you have it in print, just so you know.
All right. Definitely.
All right, guys, we look forward to seeing you and actually meeting in person tomorrow. That should be cool.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We look forward to a nice show.
Cool.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Right, you guys have a great night, man.
Yeah, you too. Yeah. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Rock on, guys. Take it easy.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, what's up, guys? Welcome back. Hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. It was a really fun one. I enjoyed it. It was actually, like I said, the first time we actually interviewed anybody. Actually, the first time we actually had a full show. So, it was really cool that we got to speak to them. It was fun. First off, this episode came out September 29th of 2012. So that's about 8 years ago. And they've put out a bunch of music since then. But for those that don't know, they have a really awesome band. And we actually used one of their songs as our intro. So if you go back to previous episodes, you'll see what song it was. And the song that it is actually what I'm going to play after this, which is their hurtling towards what's the name of it again? My brain doesn't work very well. It's Hurtling Towards the Sun is the name of the song, and it's a really good fucking song. So yeah, thank you guys for actually listening to the episode again, and taking a trip back in our little bootleg TARDIS here. So I hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll be back next week with a whole new episode full of our geeky weirdness, and check it out, we'll be back. Check out the innercitygeeks.net for all the stuffs on there. We got a whole bunch of cool stuff on there, so might as well go check it out. And coming up now is the Hurtling Towards the Sun by the Soapbox Army. And don't be a dick, but always remember that the geeks shall inherit the earth.
Wired.